Finally got one right. Thank you, Linda. Appreciate that so much. Well, I appreciate you guys being here this morning. And if you have a Bible, would you turn over to two sections of the Bible? The first one is 1 Samuel 31. 1 Samuel 31. And then James chapter 1. And I'm sure Valerie will get the scriptures up here in just a minute. But 1 Samuel 31 and James 1. I got to tell you, I have, as you probably can tell by where we've been the past 2 months, I've enjoyed going back through the book of 1 Samuel and just rereading that book. There's so many practical stories. There's so many practical things, things that I need, things that you need. And so when we get into that book, we can see things that happen to God's people there, and we can relate. So we're going to start in 1 Samuel 31 in just a moment. The lesson is called, But It's Such a Little Thing. Just a little thing. And we all have little things in our life that tend to drag us down. But often little things grow into big things. And even if they don't grow into big things, a lot of little things become a major thing. Saul was a guy that had a lot of little things in his life. And it grew into a big, bad thing. And the end of a hard heart is the life of Saul. He had a hard heart. Let's read in 1 Samuel 31, verse number 1. Now the Philistines fought against Israel, and the men of Israel fled from before the Philistines and fell down slain in Mount Gibeah. Now let's just say something real quick here. This was a tragic time in the nation of Israel's history. Not only have they been led by the fool, Saul, but there's been a fair amount of disobedience among God's people. So when you have bad leadership at the top and you have unfaithful people of God who are not faithful to the Lord, then there's nowhere to go but downhill. So they fight against the Philistines and they fled and they're slain in Mount Gibeah. This is a sad time in the history of God's people. And the Philistines followed hard upon Saul and upon his sons. And the Philistines slew Jonathan. Now you remember Jonathan? He was David's best friend. Loved him with all his heart. Jonathan was a good man. But he was fighting. And he lost his life on this same day. Jonathan and Abinadab and Malchishua, Saul's sons, all three dead in this battle. And the battle went sore against Saul, and the archers hit him. Remember, they didn't have rifles and stuff, you know. The archers hit Saul, and he was sore wounded of the archers. Then said Saul unto his armor bearer, that guy that's carrying his armor and help assisting him with everything. He says, draw thy sword and thrust me through therewith. That's fancy words for kill me. Draw thy sword and thrust me through therewith, lest these uncircumcised come and thrust me through and abuse me. But his armor bearer would not, for he was sore afraid. Therefore Saul took a sword and fell upon it. So Saul simply asked, don't let me fall into the hands of these savages here. They'll abuse me. They'll hurt me. Armor bearer wouldn't do it. And so Saul took his own life. And when his armor bearer saw that Saul was dead, he fell likewise upon his sword and died with him. So Saul died and his three sons and his armor bearer and all his men that same day together. Tragic. And when the men of Israel that were on the other side of the valley and they that were on the other side of the Jordan River saw that the men of Israel fled, and that Saul and his sons were dead. They forsook the cities and fled, and the Philistines came and dwelt in them. And it came to pass on the morrow, when the Philistines came to strip the slain, that they found Saul and his three sons fallen in Mount Gibeah. And they cut off his head and stripped off his armor and sent into the land of the Philistines round about to publish it in the house of their idols and among the people. And they put his armor in the house of Ashtoreth, and they fastened his body to the wall of Bethshan. So not only did Saul and his sons and so many that day died, but Saul, the very leader, the king of Israel, his head was cut off and sent around on display for people to see. They fastened his body to a wall. And it says, and when the inhabitants of Jabesh-Gilead heard of that which the Philistines had done to Saul, all the valiant men arose, that's all the courageous men arose and went all night and took the body of Saul and the bodies of his sons from the wall of Bethshan and came to Jabesh and burnt them there. And they took their bones and buried them under a tree at Jabesh and fasted 7 days. Now let's read verse 5 and 6 again, because this is important. Saul was a man of little things. He had so many little things. He did not want to give little things to the Lord. Verse 5 says, and when his armor bearer saw that Saul was dead, he fell likewise upon his sword and died with him. So Saul died, and his three sons, and his armor bearer, and all his men that same day together. Now I want to read with you from James 1. Before we start talking about our chapter that we just read, let's read from James chapter 1, verse 13. Give you just a second to make sure you're there. James chapter 1, we'll read a couple, two or three verses. Verse 13 says, let no man say when he's tempted, I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Now real quick, let's get our mind in the game here. Lust is simply evil desire. We associate it with one kind of lust, and that's sexual lust. But in the Bible, it's evil desire. And we know from reading God's Word that anything that we place over the priority of our God is sin, and it's evil. So it says in verse 15, then when lust or evil desire hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Now, if there's one thing you can see when you read the book of 1 Samuel, one of the things that you do see is the undeniable fact that King Saul spent his entire life running from God. From the beginning, when he was chosen to be king, he showed signs that he really didn't care what God had to say. He only seemed to care when people were watching, and then sometimes not even then. King Saul was a man who was out for himself, and yet God had put him there in that position. And we know why that was, is because the people were at a bad spot in their life. The people did not want to be controlled or led by Samuel, who was a good man of God. Samuel was the prophet, he was a judge, and he had good discretion, and God's power was upon him, and the people prospered under him. But the people looked around them, and they saw something else. And Brother Jerry, sometimes we are the same way. We're in a good spot, but we just get discontent, don't we? Because we're human, and we're going to do that. The people looked around and saw their neighboring nations. They had the privileges of kings and royalty and monarchy, and who'd they have to lead them? They had little old Samuel over here, humble, man of God, probably very little show and pomp and circumstance. He didn't have any of that stuff. So they demanded a king, and God told them, You don't need a king. I'm providing for you right now through Samuel. And they said, no, we want a king. So if God's people are wanting to step outside of God's will to get their desires and their wants, then you know what? God's going to give them a man who's the same way. Ooh, be careful what you ask for. Be careful what you ask for. They got what they asked for in King Saul. And from day one, he had no desire to follow God's leadership. And at first, it was such a little thing. You know his story. And we went through, I think it was 2008 was when we went through 1 and 2 Samuel. But, you know, you probably remember all the stories where Saul did something for himself. He had a specific command from God. He had rules to follow. He had suggestions to follow. And yet he always did what he wanted to do. He went solo. He just did his own thing. And so when a man or a woman is like that, you know, you can go for a while, but eventually it's going to catch up with you. And I don't typically call these lessons with two titles, but two just seem to fit. It's such a little thing. But when you have so many little things, you see the end of a hard heart. And that's what we see in Saul. We saw his disobedience from the very beginning. He was never interested in displaying the qualities of a heart that was submissive to God. He was in it for his pride, and he wanted the rule of the day to be what he said, and he was too proud to admit that he needed to submit to a God. You remember what happened in chapter 13? You remember where Samuel had told Saul, because he was training Saul, okay? Samuel was at a point where he was training Saul to be king, and he told Saul to go to Gilgal and to wait there 7 days. And after 7 days, Samuel would be there with him, and he would offer the sacrifice unto the Lord, and he would seek God's petitions, and they would pray that God would give them victory. And we know when you read that chapter that Saul goes ahead and he goes to that place, but then he gets antsy, he gets scared, and decides to take the sacrifice upon himself. You say, well, that's such a little thing. Well, yeah, it was. But God had told Samuel, who had told Saul to do something, this little thing a certain way. And Saul couldn't do it. He had to do it his way. He had to take it upon himself to change the rules of this thing that involved his life. You get past chapter 13 and you go to chapter 15 and you see where there's a battle that's taking place between the Amalekites and the nation of Israel. And God had told them exactly what needed to happen. He would give them certain victory, but that there were to be no possessions taken. You remember that story? Wipe them out. Wipe everything they got out. Don't take their stuff with you. Don't loot them. Hey, when God tells us to do something, it's really hard because we are free-thinking people. We have our minds and we're independent. It's hard for us to insert buts in there, isn't it? Oh, wait, but. I do that all the time. I find myself as hard, you know what, if you get too far from the Word of God, if you get too far from a life of prayer, and if you get too far from God's church and from God's people, stinking thinking comes into your head. And in Saul's case, he decided to spare the king, I believe his name was Agag. He spared Agag, and then he kept the possessions, and God had told him to do away with them. And it was just a little thing. But in that little thing, he disobeyed God. You read all through the book, and you see where Saul was not interested in doing things God's way, because he was interested in doing things his way. In one particular instance, when David had the chance to kill wicked King Saul, David was a young man. You know, David had been running from King Saul for so long. And he had the chance to kill Saul and his men, because if you remember, they found them sleeping in a camp, or in a cave rather, And they could have snuck in and taken their life, but he didn't, because David was a man who was humble, and he was always led by God's Spirit. He was sensitive to doing what God wanted him to do, but Saul was just the opposite. And in the last few chapters of the book, if you've read 1 Samuel, you'll see Saul's efforts over and over again as he tries to actually kill David, because he was jealous. So what I'm trying to get at is, yeah, it's such a little thing. From the beginning chapters of 1 Samuel, it's such a little thing. Don't get too uptight about this, Dwayne, you know? Yeah, it's such a little thing. But when you disobey God in the little things add up over a lifetime. And the little things often don't stay little. Then sin, as James chapter 1 says, then sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Now remember, death is just separation. We talked about that a couple weeks ago. The soul is separated from the body. The soul is separated from God, in this case. If there is sin, well, you know, sin separates us from God. You know, as a child of God, we know we're going to heaven, and we know we're thankful for our salvation, and it's only by God's grace of Christ on the cross and the work that He did on the cross. But what ceases, or what stalls is a better word, what stalls my fellowship with the Lord is my stubbornness and my sin and the things that we do that take us away from having sweet fellowship with Him. And the things that we do that no longer us leave in His leading and in His power and in His control. And He wants us to be under His leading and under His power and His control. And so in Saul's life, he just didn't seem to want to do that. In 1 Samuel 26, David makes a statement about Saul. He says this right here, "As the Lord liveth, the Lord shall smite him, or his day shall come to die, or he shall descend into battle and perish." You see, David had the confidence that God was going to take care of this thing. David had the kind of confidence that we need to have in our life. You know, we're around stuff that's always given us fears. We see things in the headlines and we get worried about things. But what we got to remember is just what David had to remember is God's got this thing fixed. God already has this thing in the long term figured out. It's just a matter of trusting Him between now and then. It's just a matter of trusting Him during what we don't know. And that's the hard part about life. Like Brother Strunk said when one of the services during the revival. Faith is hard because we can't see it. Having faith in a situation is hard. And Saul was a guy who, you know, he probably did not set out in his life to disobey God at every turn of the way, but that's what ended up happening because he didn't have faith in his God. God tell him to do one thing, and he says, well, I'll do that, but I'm going to do it this way. And so what I'm trying to say is, we're not that different from Saul, really. We have the potential for not being so different from Saul. Because we know what God's Word says. Amen? Very clear, black and white. We read it. We believe it, especially when Brother Chris is preaching it, you know. But then we get out into the world, and we live from day to day, and we think, well, I know the Scripture says that, but you know, you think God understands the situation I'm in, Linda? You know? I know God tells me to do this, but does He know how hard this would be? You know? It's such a little thing. I just personally think that Saul's life was, you know, when you read it, sometimes you think he's just an evil guy who's out to just be evil, but I wonder if it's just he's got a whole lifetime of little things in which he's not trusting God in. And a whole lifetime of that ends up in eventual death, even for the good people in the story. Jonathan, his son, was a good person, the best friend that David had, but he dies in this story. Let me read you what Matthew Henry said about Saul. This is concerning verses 5 and 6, or rather verse 6, where it says, "So Saul died and his three sons. What a miserable end for any man, let alone a king." Listen to this. "As he lived, so he died. Proud and jealous, a terror to himself and all about him." That was the man Saul. That was the King Saul who we read in the book of 1 Samuel. Only out for himself. Completely unable to submit himself to God and God's ways because he wanted to do things his own way. And so this was a devastating day, and I doubt if Saul set out that week to have this kind of day, but it's the end of a hard life. It's the end of so many little things in a life where it took him farther and farther and farther away from the Lord. Look up in verse number 10. I want to show you something else. It says, "And they put his armor in the house of Ashtaroth, and they fastened his body to the wall of Bethshan." They took Saul's armor and they put it in the house of Ashtaroth, a false god, an idol. And did you know this? That so many times God's people, the Bible says, the way the Bible uses the terminology is God's people went a-whoring after Ashtaroth. That means they just started worshiping Ashtaroth. So here, God's people in their disobedience started worshiping other gods against God's commandment, the one true God's orders, the one true God's desires. And when their leader dies, and when their leader's sons die, look at the disgrace. His head, his armor is fastened in the house of Ashtaroth. That's nailing the coffin shut right there. That's full disgrace to the man of God or to the leader that leads the nation of God right there. And it's almost as if God is telling his people, look, you've gone after Ashtaroth for so long and for so many times, and you've been unfaithful to me so much that it's only fitting that the Philistines take your leader's body, great disgrace to it, humiliates it, bring great embarrassment upon the nation, and put his armor in the house of Ashtaroth. You say, well, that's a little excessive. Well, it's just a little thing. It's just a little thing. All the thing I'm trying to say is we read these stories written long ago about people long ago who lived long ago, and we think they're far out there, but they're really not, because we still have the same ability in our head to say, it's just a little thing. You know, it don't matter. But it does matter. That's the hardest thing for sometimes people to see about the Christian life is, and like Brother Strunk talked about in our revival, you know, God doesn't want a part of this heart right here. He wants it all. And yet, you're like me. You don't want to give it all. You want to give most. Amen? Travis is not here, so Brother Stacy, you're going to have to work double duty. we like to give 99%. And so we as people, we're human, and we don't like to do that. We don't like to fully submit to anything at all. And that's what God wants. And when we get into whatever it is, and you fill in the blanks of what it is, because you're different than me, okay? You have different weaknesses. All of you have a weakness that I don't know anything about, and I don't want to know anything about, because it's your business between you and God. And I have mine own too, and we want to keep those to ourselves and not submit them to the Lord, don't we? Yeah, we do. Maybe it's just stubbornness, or maybe it's not forgiving people. You know, whatever it is, it don't matter. It's something. And all I'm trying to say is too much of a little thing can become a big thing. And a lot of little things over a full lifetime for a child of God can produce the end of a life. Are we going to heaven? Yeah. Amen. But between now and the time I go to heaven, Brother Albert, I want to live a life as full as it can be. I want to live a life, Beverly, that is blessed by God. Don't you? Yeah. I want to live a life in which I am enjoying God's promises and enjoying His power in my life. I don't want to become, what's that word? Not irreverent. Somebody, not relevant. Not relevant is what I'm trying to say. In God's kingdom, I want to be used. I don't want to be shelved. And yet the only way to be used is to give Him 100% of me and not keep the little things. So Saul and Saul's life and the nation of Israel's life is not so far from me and you and Slayton and Lubbock. We're kind of in the same boat. Amen? That's just something we have to remember. My time is nearly over. Would you pray with me? Father, we thank You for the good example and the good story of